It is a great privilege, a great pleasure, and a great responsibility to be before you once again here from Grace Baptist Church in our portion of our worship referred to as Sunday School. Yes, I pray that we will learn of Christ, not only about Him, but from Him, Him teaching us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Today, we want to take a look at worship. Worship. Of course, the Bible, in its originality, was written Old Testament, primarily Hebrew, New Testament, primarily Greek. The word worship, found in the Hebrew and Greek, in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, have the following meaning. To worship is to show deferential respect to something or some being. This means to defer to that thing or being. And by defer, I mean to submit, in essence, to that thing or being as superior in some way to you, and you cannot exist without them. The appetites of your soul are satisfied by what you worship. The appetites of your soul, your being, your inward being, are satisfied by what you worship, whether a thing or being. And may I add, you may also worship ideas that come from the human imagination, which will only lead to nowhere and nothing. To worship, get a bit literal here, to worship is to bow down, and that may be physically or spiritually or both, to prostrate yourself to what you worship. Now that literally means to lie face down and stretched out on the ground. I can remember when God first revealed to me His sovereign grace, I simply got underneath a dining room table on my face, on the floor, and simply worshiped God for revealing this wonderful truth of His sovereign grace to me. It was very humbling, overwhelmingly so, irresistibly so, the revelation from the Holy Spirit of God. Figuratively, in that position on the ground with your face to the floor, that means you mentally commit yourself to the service of what you worship in adoration of the object of your worship. Please listen. I want you to think about something. What you worship is what you love. It's what you adore and respect above all else. Think about that. And as I look around this world today, folks, I hope it's not some puppy dog or other things of such little importance when compared to the one true God. The Holy Scriptures make irrefutably clear the truth that God alone is worthy of worship, is fit to be worshiped. the Lord Jesus rebuked Satan, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4. At least that's the portion I'm going to read from. Satan had tempted Christ in a number of different ways before we step in and look at a text. Again, after tempting Christ, testing Christ in some other ways, the devil took him, Christ, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, the devil said to Christ, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. He says to the creator of those things, I'll give them to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Now listen, and him only shall you serve. Worship and service go together. You cannot separate the one from the other. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, your reasonable service. Now, if you would take the time to look up that word service in a concordance, you will find that it's talking about a service of worship. That's what you're going to find. A better translation there would be your reasonable service of worship. Worship and service go together. Whatever you worship, you will serve. And if you are not worshiping the one true God, woe be it unto you. Little three-letter word, W-O-E, woe. That's a primary exclamation of grief. If you are not worshiping the one true God above all else, your future has nothing but grief written upon it. Romans 1:25 speaks of those who worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, we're going to be looking into the book of the Revelation, where we're going to find a manifestation, an illustration of the worship of God. Now, please, again, I'm trying to create a narrative here, a storyline, if you will. You need to listen. If you want to go back, check these scriptures out for yourself. I'm reading from Revelation 4 and 5, but again, it would take too much time to tell you, go to this verse, go to that verse, because I'm moving around. In Revelation chapter 4, we had four living creatures introduced. I'm not going to go into describing that so much, but just want to pick up with these four living creatures in verse 8. Four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying. Now, did you hear that? Remember what we're doing now. I'm giving you an example of what it is to worship, found in the Holy Writ of God. And they do not rest day or night, saying unceasingly, never stopping, holy, 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 recognizing God's purity. Lord God Almighty, recognizing God's power, who was and is to come, recognizing his endless life. He's eternal. He has no beginning nor ending. Who was and is to come. Now, are you and I, in our position mentally, spiritually, constantly worthy of, excuse me, constantly conscious of God's holiness, God's power, God's eternality? That's part of worshiping God. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, are you and I worshiping in that manner, giving glory and honor and thanks to the one true God continually in our lives? When that occurs, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and worship Him who lives forever and ever, falling down before Him. Now, I don't know. I'm not telling you not to prostrate yourself on the ground with your face to the ground in the presence of God from your heart. That'd be a good thing to do. But are we in that position spiritually all the time? That's worship. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, folks, we have a crown of life given to us by Christ. Would you be willing to cast that crown before Him? We need to be thinking about that now, because that's going to occur. He is responsible for our life, our eternal life. We must always be conscious of that, trusting in Him and not so bound up with all the problems of this life like I am. Just admit it. I need to refocus and worship. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying. Now, what are you and I saying? What we say has to do with our worship of the one true God. They are saying, you are worthy. They recognize that God is fit to be worshiped, and the only one fit to be worshiped. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Notice how we always see that power. We're going to look at that a little more closely towards the end. Now, why is God fit? Why is He worthy to receive glory and honor and power? Because you created all things, and by your will, they exist and were created. It's Jesus Christ who holds it all together, folks. In Him, all things consist. Now, are we mindful of that? That's part of our worship. And I saw on the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Now, the one we see in this context, Seated on the throne is God the Father. And you'll see why. He's got a scroll in his hand, seated on his throne. No one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. And I looked, says John the Apostle, as led by the Spirit of God, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. The lamb, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him, God the Father, who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down. They worshiped, folks. They worshiped. And if we don't do that literally on our knees, we need to be doing it again spiritually in our hearts and minds, bowing in humble adoration, submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. They fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They present in worship to the one true God our prayers. How about that? We have a part in heavenly activity, folks. These prayers being presented by these individuals in heaven to the one true God. Part of our worship. And they sang a new song, saying, friends, when we sing, when we say what we sing, we're worshiping. And what do they sing? You are worthy to the Lamb to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. What made him fit to open the seals? For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and or language and people and nation. Folks, do you realize when you even acknowledge some things, you worship God? Because listen to this. And have made us kings and priests to our God. The very acknowledgement of that, folks, if it's from the heart, is worship. And we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, folks, when you look at that in biblical language, that's innumerable. You can't count. Saying, worshiping more with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Now, remember that word power. It's coming up later. Overwhelmingly important. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, and glory, and blessing. To say such is to worship God. To say such is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's said from the heart with a love for God. Can't just mimic it. Can't just say it. It's got to come from the heart. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, we have more worship, folks. Blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne, God the Father, and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. Friends, to say amen is worship To say amen means so be it, let it be. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Now, in that context I just read from, Revelation chapters 4 and 5, there can be no doubt that that worship was done in spirit and truth, because the scene is set in heaven. Nonetheless, the pattern we see there, those things we talked about, found in true worship, should be followed by us on earth, as it is in heaven. We should be imitating the worship of God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ here on earth, as it is in heaven. Now, where in the world do I get that? Of course, you know what I'm going to go to, I think. The model prayer given by Christ Himself clearly instructs God's people concerning God's will, which surely includes our worship of Him. Matthew 6:10 contains these literal words in reference to God. The will of you, not the will of me, but the will of you be done as in heaven, also upon earth. Now, folks, that statement, short, specific, to the point, no room for misunderstanding. The basic elements of worship that we see in heaven should be striven for here on earth. Though perfection will only occur when we see Christ and are made like Him without sin. Now, those human spirits that we see in heaven, and heavenly creatures and angels, are without sin, as we've already noted, and worship God as He is worthy, which was stated numerous times there. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, we see those who worship God in spirit and truth perfectly. The text is going to show us that. God's elect are predestinated unto this in the image of Christ. What I'm going to be reading, we're predestinated unto this in the image of Christ, conformed to this. Listen up. But you have come to Mount Zion. Folks, we've not come to Mount Sinai and the law, which leads to nothing but sure damnation. But we have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn being Christ, registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just human beings made perfect. Now that text right there a little later says, therefore, now listen, folks who are here on this earth today, Christians, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, that's the kingdom spoken of in Matthew 25, which has been prepared for God's people from before the foundation of the world. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, listen now, please listen, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Remember, service and worship go hand in hand. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Such is the worship of God. Such is the worship of God. Without reverence and godly fear, there is no worship of God in spirit and truth. The very heart of worshiping God is reverence and godly fear. To serve God acceptably, and folks, that's the only way to look at it. It's got to be acceptable to God according to His standard, according to His will, His purpose, His design. To serve God with reverence and godly fear is at the heart of our reasonable service of worship. I want us to deal, as we move toward closing now, I want us to deal with another eternal truth that I have alluded to several times already. God is not only absolutely pure and holy, but He is absolutely all-powerful, the Almighty God. Now, I say this quite often, I know, if you have not heard anything I've said thus far, please put down everything and listen to this, please. We've talked about, just now, God being almighty, having absolute power. Those attributes, in addition to His holiness, are central to His glory, His holiness, and His power. These are attributes central to the glory of God. As Christians, you and I are going to share in God's glory having to do with being pure and holy without sin. But, however, listen, we will never be almighty. We will never be all-powerful as the Most High God. We will not have that full measure of God's glory. That is why Isaiah was moved by the Spirit of Christ to record this. God says this, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give another." The full glory of God, which includes all power and might, is His alone and makes Him worthy of worship. No Christian or angel is worthy of worship. That is why God will not share that glory with another. Him only shall you worship. I end with this. A sanctuary is a place of worship. And your soul is your primary sanctuary, for therein dwells the Holy Spirit of Christ. Folks, you don't go somewhere to find the Holy Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit of Christ is in you. Therefore, listen to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. We close with this. The psalmist says from his heart, O God, you, my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Remember, what you worship is what you cannot live without. Goes right together with what we're looking at. So, I have looked for you in the sanctuary. Now, folks, again, the sanctuary of your soul. To see your power and your glory. We're looking for God. That's where the power and the glory is found. It's not found in you and I, in and of ourselves. To see your power and your glory, which means to worship you, Lord God. Amen.